The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you use a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
The woman is right, and I've been taking a hard look at myself. She's right. There's a certain amount of fluffiness that comes when you use big words. You're trying to show off. So I've decided, no more. No more magniloquence. No more pedagogical lucubration. It's not going to happen on this program. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Well, Guarendi's a big word. It's kind of long, three syllables. Program, The Doctor Is In. We used to dispense a brand name drug, Doc Is In. Powerful drug. Get it through the ear. For well-being, it had no known side effects, except that you sometimes can lose friends because, well, you become so much more well-adjusted and intellectual that they get intimidated by it. But the drug went off patent. It is now tricyclonol, which is the generic version. It's almost as effective. Almost as effective. If you want to get a full dose, you call the program. 877-573-7825. 877-57 Equal is the number to call to get on to the program. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. It's my profession. But on the radio, I can't do the professional stuff of psychology, as in diagnosis. Definitely not going to step into another professional's turf that you might be seeing. No therapy. But whatever we can do to help out, just a few thoughts, a few notions, a little education, however it might help. I get a better education from you folks, too, because typically, you will email me and correct me and point out to me my flaws and foibles and weaknesses and falling shorts. Okay, and I nod, and I tell my wife, quit emailing me and let some other people email me. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Andrew, Eric, your assignment, should you choose to accept it in the old Mission Impossible language, can you find something else other than 57 equal acronymically for those letters? That whole thing just kind of throws me for a loop. It sounds so kind of psychologically fluffy, you know? We're all equal here. We're all winners. Every question is the same. Every caller is equally articulate. Every caller is enthusiastic at the same level. Every caller is the same height. Every caller drives the same car. We're all equal here. Win-win situations. 877-573-7825. The topic came up yesterday about quiet authority. And we had a caller saying, how do I get this quiet authority? And in the call, talked a little bit about the look. I asked her, did your mother or father have the look? She said, yes. And I said, well, how did they get that look? You can't just look at a three-year-old. Generally, you can't. I mean, yeah, sometimes dads can do it initially because there's the size factor. But generally, you can't just look at a three-year-old and then get them to cooperate. You have to teach them that the look means something. You have to pair the look with action for a while anyway. Pavlov's dogs, you know, it's called classical conditioning. When you associate two stimuli together after a while, the one stimuli will evoke the same behavior. That's why the look works. Many parents of the past generation, and definitely of two generations ago, had the look. The look was based upon their willingness to assert authority. Now, all looks are not the same. Parents had variations of the look. They had the throat clear. They had the snapping of the fingers. They looked down over the paper that they were reading. They oftentimes may have taken the bridge of their glasses and shoveled them down so that they could look over the top of their glasses. All of these are variants of authority. How did this happen? Well, it happened because, in most cases, the parent gave the look first and then acted, did something about it. After a while, even the slowest learning child comes to realize there's that look. And within a matter of 3.26 seconds, there is going to be action following that look. Some children respond to the look rather quickly. Other children look back at you as if to say, "What are you looking at? You trying to intimidate me with that? That's no look." Now, even children with that attitude will eventually respond. It just takes a lot longer. And that's where most parents get exhausted. If you have the look, two things are going to happen. Three. People will see your look. Let's say that your kid is with a bunch of other kids, and they're being rowdy and uncooperative and unruly, and the parents are trying to get him to settle down, and it's not happening. Okay. Then you look at your child, or you say his name, just his name. That counts. If you go less than three words, it counts as a look. Brandon. Okay, that's a look. Name equals look. You could even do middle name. Brandon Anthony Smith is still a look. They will look at you and in awe. It's like, wow, how can she do that? That's amazing how she does that. I wish I could do that. Then another response would be, she's got an easy kid. And my kid's strong-willed. Her kid isn't strong-willed. You know, obviously he's not strong-willed. Look, he listens. See that? Okay, they didn't see how you earned the look over the past 3 years. Third, and this is reminiscent of the example that I gave of the mother who got in trouble for being able to get her two teenage daughters out of the swimming pool just by a wave of her hand, which is, this must be a very intimidating parent. This must be kind of a semi-nasty, oppressive sort of parent. Because look at the child. The child just simply stopped what he was doing. He probably fears her. That's what the problem is. He's intimidated. I don't know. I don't think intimidation is totally bad in all situations, to tell you the truth. As long as it's intimidation in love, you can do that. People will not understand the look anymore. It is not a staple of parenthood anymore. So if you have it, and by the way, okay, I'm going to put one other condition on this look thing. The only way you can say that you have the look is if you have it with all of your children. You can't have it with just one and the other two just ignore you. You can't have it with just Chastity or Angelica or Oxford. You got to have it with Chucky and Cujo. Lucifer. Got to have it with all your kids. If you're across the board, look, you got the look. 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Ray.
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it? Then why did you bring it up in the first place?
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
check out EW10's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Your drive-through window for better living. Three questions or less. My wife signed me up for some class. We got a local university very close to us, a couple miles away. And she said, Ray, why don't you take some continuing education class? I said, honey, I got to do this for my degree, for my license. I got to take them. She goes, well, no, I think this would help for our marriage. I signed you up for some. Okay. So she gave me the list. She signed me up for three of them. The one here is how to fill ice cube trays. Step-by-step with slide presentation. The other course, these are all one-hour courses. The toilet paper roll. Does it grow on the holder? Roundtable discussion. And then the third one, fundamental differences between the laundry hamper and the floor. Pictures and explanatory graphics available. I'm not really sure how to interpret all that. I didn't quite know exactly how she wanted me to understand her signing me up for these courses. Amy from Illinois. Amy says, now Amy diagnosed these people, or at least she didn't diagnose them. She said they got the traits. They didn't have the disorder. They got the traits. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Okay, tell me who these, tell me what these traits are here.
Manipulation, will stop at nothing to get their own way and has no remorse whatsoever, has a very, like, inflated, narcissistic kind of personality.
Is this somebody you live with?
No, thank goodness.
Well, that makes it easier, doesn't it?
I'm even sorry I said that. See, that's just rude because, like, I know this person is just sick. You know what I mean? And if I were taking care of this person, I feel I would be able to separate myself from that and be okay. But, like, I was just hoping you had some kind of super secret
psychologist
trick to.
Oh,
okay, good.
I do. Now here's the thing, Amy. First of all, you said I was hoping, which kind of implies you weren't sure. Okay?
Oh.
Now, I'm trying not to be upset because I think that's very narcissistic and antisocial of you to say that, but I'm going to let it go. Right?
Okay.
Now, yes, I do. And years of training, many degrees. There's my suggestion for you, for this person in your life who has these characteristics that just really scrape on you. Don't let them get to you. How's that?
Okay, kind of like don't have a button to push.
Well, hey, that's, I think that's a pretty in-depth answer, don't you?
Yeah. I guess it's just something I just have to be patient with and work on. Because
here's the thing.
Really good.
I'll go deeper for you, dear, all right? I'm going to go deeper. First of all, I have a book that can help you. It's called Thinking Like Jesus.
Cool.
And it deals with all this kind of stuff. All of it. Heavy dealing with this kind of stuff. It's on my website. Okay, and it is signed.
Okay.
Now, here is my suggestion. When you get recurrently upset over a difficult individual, what you are really saying, this is the thought in your head. It's been there. You may not even be aware it's there, but it is affecting your reaction. And that thought is this. They shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Amy, they are like that.
Right.
Right. Or they... Yeah, exactly. They shouldn't do this to me. Amy.
Right.
They are doing that to you, dear. Now...
I can't affect how they act, yeah.
No, you can't. But you can realize... Okay, one of the chapters in the book is this. It's called Close the Book. Now, don't take it literally because you'll just shut the book. It means when somebody is chronically problematic in your life and this is their way, you can predict it.
Yes.
After a while, they should lose power to upset you. Instead, what happens is they gain power. The more they do it, the more irritated we get. The more they do it, the more we react. When in fact, if you close the book, which means I know how this person is. They've been this way for 22 years. They'll probably be this way for another 22 years because they see nothing wrong with the way they are. They have no motive to change. So therefore, I'm going to close the book. I'm going to recognize this is who they are so that when they act this way, it's not going to upset me like it used to. That's the conclusion you got to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the book has a whole bunch of stuff in it like that. I just didn't want to kill my sale. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. It's practically mine. It sounds like it'd be perfect for me. Thank you.
Well, I didn't want to say nothing, but I think the before picture of the book is a picture of you. Yeah. It is.
Great.
Thanks, Amy.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Take care, dear. Bye.
Right.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going off the air because I just made a sale. And I figure making a sale on the book, give them my percentage of the book, maybe a couple more people go over there. I really don't need the rest of this show. You know what I'm saying? All right. Janet from Fairfax has a 16-year-old son who's been communicating, obviously via the phone, which is typically the way it is. For those parents who say their children can't date until a certain age, the kids have a phone, they're dating. In the sense. Not like we call dating. We used to take people out and do things person to person. Not now. The venue for dating is now texting and social media via the phone. Well, Janet has discovered that this young lady definitely would like to go a lot farther in this relationship than, I don't know. I don't know if her son would want to go that far. He might. So Janet's saying, okay, what do we do about this? And we talked a little bit about this previously. And I said, you know, you got to make a decision here. This girl is essentially going to get him involved physically. Now, Janet's next question was, do I talk to the young lady's parents? I suggested, yes. But then she said, how do I do this? Hi, Janet.
Hi, Ray. Dr. Ray.
No, you can call me Ray, dear. That's fine.
Thank you. Now I guess my question is, I have a flavor for these parents, and the flavor that I get through seeing the texts is that they're not on the same page my husband and I are with regard to how we're raising our children. And I'm wondering, and I'm also wondering, to what extent do I share the details of the text that I read over 3 days' worth of seeing the two of them go back and forth together?
Well,
like, how detailed do I share? Because I'm planning on doing it with just the mother.
I think what you're asking here, Janet, is how do I do this delicately? How do I do this so they don't get defensive, right?
Right.
Well, you really don't have to worry about that, because you can say, this is what I discovered. And I just, if I were in your shoes, I would want this information. I'm just giving you this information for you to do with it what you will.
Okay.
That's all I would do. I wouldn't give her any advice. I wouldn't say. Now, obviously, the bigger problem is you're going to have to deal with your son, because he's going to go nuts. He's going to go nuts. This is the love of, this is the love of his life as he sees it.
Yep.
You know, and
they're in, and he's in a group with her and other kids. They're in a very, like a group that they hang out with, because they're in a certain club in the school, and this is pretty much all of his friends, and they're all intertwined.
Well, you might have to decide how you're going to supervise his presence in that group. In other words, that group can't go anywhere. I mean, if they go somewhere, then obviously he and her are going to go off by themselves.
Right.
There's the problem. That's exactly what you're dealing with. So I think if you know, and I would have a long talk with him, I would say, okay, let's look at the factors here, son.
Yep.
Obviously, I don't know what the morality means to him, but you can also deal with the practicalities. All of the things that could happen to change his life forever.
Yep.
You know, so whatever he tells you, well, no, Mom, she takes this, she does this, no, no, no. Son, are you there watching it? So, yeah, I think he really needs to know the situation he's in. And depending, you may have to supervise at a level beyond anything you've ever had to supervise. He's forced your hand.
You're right. And even though he is saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to her, and we've just seen time and again that he's not being honest with us.
Well,
and we've caught him multiple times lying, so his credibility doesn't
You have answered your question, and he has forced you into supervising much higher than you've ever supervised before.
Right. So, I mean, we just...
Well,
don't let him hang out with that group of friends right now.
Well, that's your decision. You're perfectly able to make that decision. I will tell you that parents are very afraid to take that kind of action. They're afraid of the kid's reaction. They're afraid of how intense he'll get. They're afraid of how nasty he'll get. They're afraid of resentment. They're afraid of making it forbidden fruit. They have all kinds of anxieties if they were to make a decision like that. But as I tell parents, you don't have good options. You have least bad options. And you have to take the one that is least bad. And your son seems to be telling you, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll lie to do it. That's what it sounds like you're saying. So I got to run, sweetheart. I got to take a break. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm delighted that you have called and you've gotten in the queue there. The TV program, Living Right with Dr. Ray, entering very shortly its eighth season on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. I still, after 8 years, can do my own stunts. No body doubles. Well, except in one of the programs, we did have a body double, but you'll have to watch it to see what we did with it.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What is catechesis and why do we care? The job of catechesis is to reveal all the joy as well as the demands of the way of Christ, says the Catholic Catechism. The way of Christ is summed up in the catechesis of the Beatitudes. Jesus gave us the 8 Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount. The Catholic Catechism tells us this teaching is the only path that leads to the eternal beatitude, happiness, for which the human heart longs. The catechesis of sin and forgiveness challenges us. Unless man acknowledges that he is a sinner, states the catechism, he cannot know the truth about himself, which is a condition for acting justly, and without the offer of forgiveness, man could not bear the truth. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Put down the pretzel. That's it. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining me here. I do very much appreciate the company. It is truly a privilege to be a part of Catholic media and get to talk to all you sweet folks, even the ones of you who write me and tell me how I fell short. That's okay. Let's go to a broad-based question. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, from Edita in Florida. Hi, Edita. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hey,
now,
Dr. Guarendi.
This is this is quite a question here.
Yeah.
You phrase it, and then I'm going to ask you what you mean.
I'm not afraid. I can explain.
No, dear, I didn't say you're afraid. No. I said you phrase it. In other words, you repeat the question, and then I'll say, what do you mean by that?
Oh, okay. Should we parent like God?
What do you mean by that? See how we did that? See, just like I orchestrated it.
Yes. Well, you know, God gave us the Bible, so we know what's right and what's wrong. And when we make bad decisions in life, you know, we get punished for it, or we, I don't know. But, I mean, God doesn't keep nagging us, telling us, hey, you should do it this way or do that, you know. And with my kids, I mean, parenting is hard. I mean, I feel bad when
I... It's not hard if you don't have kids. Edita, it's not that hard if you don't have kids. It's when you have kids it gets tougher.
That's right.
Sure.
So, yeah, if I tell my son, okay, you should do well in school, you know, this is my expectation, and he doesn't fulfill, should I keep telling him, you got to do your homework?
No.
Okay.
You don't keep telling him. You do something about it.
Okay.
In one of my early books, I used the example that if a child saw parenthood through a parent's eyes, the parent could say, Newton, It's very important that you do your math homework every day for the next 12 years because you really don't understand what you're going to want to be at age 18, and you want to leave all your options open. And if he were a mature thinking adult, he'd say, "Why, thank you, Mother. I hadn't considered that. Well, no need to bring it up again because, in fact, I will do that because you make such good sense." Now, you know, Adita, having children, that's not going to happen. You know that you could tell him 1,000 times how important his schoolwork is, and that may not guarantee at all that he will put effort into it. You'll have to make it happen. You'll have to make it happen. Now, God doesn't necessarily make it happen with us. But also, if you want to be really like God, well, let me rephrase this. One of the things that God did was he gave his son to die. Well, it's not something we would generally do. We aren't God. We are not sinless, obviously. We don't have that kind of wisdom, that foresight. We just don't. We fall short in all kinds of ways. However, we can model ourselves after what we understand of the way he wants us to do it. And right now with your son, you are responsible for teaching him how to live well, how to live morally, how to cooperate with his mother. Because that's what God says. You got to honor your mother. That doesn't mean you can keep repeating it. You repeat it, and you're going to get ignored. Because one of the quick...
what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. The quickest way for kids to tune you out is you just keep saying the same stuff over and over again. Unless you do something about it, unless you tell your son, "You know what, son? I will keep a very close eye on your grades, and the privileges that you have will be directly tied to your grades. Totally. So if you want to watch TV, if you want a computer game to play, if you want to go outside, if you want to have free time, dessert, whatever it is you choose, it's going to be tied to those grades. That's it. You've made the link now. Because at age 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever he is, he is not looking ahead. All he knows is that this schoolwork right now, I don't like it. It's boring. It's not entertaining. My life is entertaining. I like to be entertained. And school just is getting in the way. So no matter how much my mother tells me, I'm going to do it my way. There you go, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see where else we're at here. Estella or Estella from Bristol, Texas? Are you there? Is it Estella? Did Eric forget to put a T in there?
No, Dr. Ray. Hello. Yes, it is Estella.
Estella. Okay, Eric got it. All right. He's going to get mad at me because he's going to say, "Why do you make me look bad?" I make you look bad, Eric. Yes,
how are you,
ma'am.
Dr. Ray?
I'm fine here. You know, I just wanted to say that I had intended to go to your call, but I kept forgetting, you know? Just very, very, every time I thought about it, I forgot.
Oh, my gosh.
How can I help you, dear?
Okay, well, Dr. Ray, I have a 10-and-a-half-year-old son, an only child. His father has really never been in his life. He had a stepdad that unfortunately had to leave the country. And I don't know, he's getting defiant. My next step is to take away the electronics, but this morning my sister sent me a picture of his glasses. This is the third pair of glasses that he's broken. I don't have the resources to keep on buying him a pair of glasses. And he continuously forgets things at home. I don't live with my parents. I just recently moved out. And I have to drive to my parents' house so he can go to school in the same school where he has been going the past couple of years. And I just feel he's not being responsible with his glasses. My father likes to say sometimes that it's just kid stuff, that they're going to do things, you know, it's going to...
Estella, dear, your bigger problem is not his glasses. Your bigger problem is he's defiant of his mother.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The forgetfulness of the glasses, I have no idea why that is. Most commonly, it is because I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If I break them, I break them. If I lose them, I lose them. So what? Okay. And that is part and parcel of a child who is becoming more defiant. A child who is at the point where he says, I don't have to listen to you. I don't want to listen to you. I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to defy you. I don't want to listen to you. I'm getting older now, and I'm not your four-year-old little kid who adores you. Leave me alone. Now, I'm not saying that's your son, but it sure smells like it.
Yes. Also, this week, he forgot his soccer stuff at our house. And, well, he forgot one sock for soccer practice on Tuesday. And I had to go buy him another pair of socks.
No, you didn't.
And
you stay right there, Isela. I got to take a break. You hear that music? That means I have to shut up. 877-573-7825. The number to call to get onto the program here. I'm Dr. Ray.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently won an important case in federal court in Toledo, Ohio. For too long, city police officers were enforcing local and state laws to prohibit pro-lifers from engaging in free speech activity on the public sidewalks outside of a local abortion center. In our case, the court issued an order prohibiting the city and its police officers from enforcing any local or state law as applied to the expressive activity of pro-life demonstrators, including our clients. This is yet another victory for the First Amendment in a case where a city and its police officers were abusing their authority to silence peaceful pro-life demonstrators to appease those engaged in the baby-killing business. As the court's order demonstrates, the Constitution protects our clients' pro-life activity from such abuse. The government has no authority to silence our clients' speech simply because they are preaching the gospel on a public sidewalk next to an abortion center. Indeed, this victory is yet another blow to the abortion industry, which has too often relied on the government to promote and support its bloody business by silencing those who oppose it. The actions of the city of Toledo and its officers in this case were deplorable, and they violated our clients' fundamental rights. We stop this egregious activity in Toledo, and we intend to stop it wherever it raises its ugly head. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Doctor Is In program. Now, here's your host, that master of mustaches, the punisher of pretzels, that cyclone of psychology, Dr. Ray Gorindy. Hit it, Jerry!
Dr. Ray Gorindy, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I am talking to a young mom, Isela, from Bristol, Texas. She's got a 10-year-old boy. Dad has never really been in the child's life. She's a single mom. He's becoming a little more, well, maybe a lot more defiant, pushy, etc., arguing with her. She says, I don't know what to do with him. Isela, here's the thing. When you have a parent who feels like they don't have authority over their child and it's becoming uglier all the time, I'm not able in a 4-minute radio call to say, oh, here's what you do. This will fix it. I can't do that. All right. I can give you maybe a specific something. Let me just give you one.
Okay.
Pick a consequence that you like. Maybe writing sentences, maybe standing in the corner, 15 minutes earlier bedtime for each infraction, whatever it is, then you make a request of him, whatever that would be, and of course he, 90% of the time, doesn't respond the first time.
Exactly.
You simply say, okay, now you've got 50 sentences. And then, he won't do the sentences. And at that point, you cut all of his privileges, every single one,
right.
Every single thing. Because you have to get authority. He's getting bigger. He's getting more willful. He's older. The hormones are starting to kick in. You're going to get to a point. You have to bring him under control that he respects his mom. Again, I don't want to keep pushing books, but I have a book that will help you.
Okay.
It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is 100 of the most common disciplines.
I have heard you speak about it. Yeah.
Yes. It'll put authority into your hands. It'll deal with this kind of disrespect, this quote-unquote forgetfulness that you're talking about. It will help you deal with all that. It's a 300-page book. As fast as I could talk, it would take me 7 shows to get through 100 pages. So that's what it's on my website. You can get it there. And there's a whole bunch of other parenting stuff there, too, that's related.
Okay,
so maybe that'll help you. If not, get a good person in your area that you can work with that will work with you on improving your ability to handle this boy. All righty, my dear?
Yes.
And you said something interesting. I'll let you go. You said something interesting, honey. You said something very interesting. You said, he's getting more defiant, and I'm thinking of taking away his technology. Well, dear, you should have done that a long time ago. If he's being defiant and he's still got all that stuff, what? It might be as simple as you say, well, you don't have the computer, you don't have any of this stuff anymore, and I will return it when I see that you are being pleasant and cooperative according to what I would like. And then I'll return it inch by inch. Thanks, Gisela. You take care, dear. Bethany from Houston. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
You have not talked with your mom in a while. How long is a while?
Almost 6 months.
Yeah, that's a while. That comes under a while. If it was in a bit, that would just be like a week. In a while is 6 months. In a long time is a year. In forever is like 5 years. So, how did this happen that you're not talking to your mom?
Well, I'm not married. I'm still legally married. I'm separated from my husband. We live in different cities. And so, I guess she kind of knew. So she asked me if I was having an affair. So I couldn't lie to my mom, and I told her yes. And so she just told me a lot of horrible things, how she was embarrassed of me. She couldn't believe I did that and things like that. So
is that relationship with that gentleman or that person over?
Yes.
Well, I think that's your first point. You go back to your mom and you say, Mom, I realize you were right. I was wrong. That relationship is over. What do you think she'll do with that?
She told me that she would never forgive me for that because it's not what I did, it's who I did it with.
Is your mother a Christian?
She's Catholic, yes, sir.
And she tries to live her faith?
Yes.
But yet, she won't forgive you?
Yes, because she says that it's not what I did, it's who I did it with.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She won't forgive you. In other words, she sees no problem with proclaiming that she follows Christ, but she refuses to forgive. You know, there's a part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, seems to be our Lord setting up the condition that we have to forgive others if we want him to forgive us. I don't know if that kind of reasoning would make any difference with your mom, but I think the way to start, you know, Bethany, you're saying, how can I heal our relationship? Well, you can't. If she doesn't want it healed, you can't. However, you can try, and you can say, Mom, you're right, I was wrong. This is foolish for us to live the rest of our lives not talking to each other over a terrible mistake I made. What do I need to do to show you that I'm regretting it? And if she remains stone cold about it, I would say, well, Mom, you say you're a Catholic and a follower of Christ. Well, you're doing something that no follower of Christ is supposed to do, and that is to say, I can never forgive you. Thanks, Bethany. Ann from Massachusetts. Well, wait a minute, Ann. You stay there. I just noticed the clock, and I know if I start with you, I'm going to have to interrupt. So stay right there, and I'm going to try to get to Aaron, too, if I can. But, Aaron, if I can't, here's just a thought. You would discipline the exact same way, only better. More consistent, more follow-through, more structure. A kid that's diagnosed with ADHD actually needs more structure, more follow-through, more parenthood, because the idea that there are impulse control problems and therefore that makes it more permissible that he be challenging or defiant or uncooperative. No, it's the other way around. A kid that has impulse control problems is going to need even better parental discipline and supervision. I'm Dr. Ray.
I am not kind, and I am not wonderful.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going
to
follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock, co-production, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and Ave Maria Radio Communications. Andrew Krucek, producer man there in Ann Arbor, as well as Eric Dumont, who is our first-line call screamer and official typer in of the questions. Ann from Massachusetts. Ann's daughter says, I don't really want what Mom wants. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
You know, when you bought your car, did you ask your daughter if it was okay?
No, but she likes it.
When you decided what color you're going to paint the bathroom, did you make sure your daughter approved?
No.
Huh.
Well, okay.
Can
when
I tell you,
you
the reason she doesn't want to go? She's been in school with these girls for a long time, and there's a couple that are just kind of trouble. Like, you would, I don't know. I wasn't expecting the things that they have done. So they're going to this school, too, so she just wants to be away from them. That's
what
the main reason. She's
what makes
done
her think,
with her class.
What makes her think if she's away from them, she'd go somewhere else that couldn't arise there?
It's this certain person. Like, I tell her you're going to get these kind of girls no matter where you go. But because it's this girl and going to this school, she's like, I don't want to go. So, and I feel like $14,000 is a lot of money. I'm going to struggle to put her there. I have another daughter in Catholic school, so it's going to be two tuitions. So I feel like, you know, I'm wasting my money if she doesn't want to go. But then again, am I wasting, you know, is it safer for her to go there over a public school?
You're not wasting your money because it's one thing to not want to go. It's quite another to say, I'm not going to do my schoolwork.
Right. She wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that.
And
she
how old is she?
You know, miserable. She's 14.
Okay. Essentially, what you're doing, Ann, you have to understand this, you are allowing a 14-year-old to say, I don't want to go to this Catholic school. I don't like a couple of the girls here. They're mean to me. Therefore, I don't want to go. I'm going to be unhappy if you make me go. I want to go to the public school. Well, you're absolutely correct. You cannot control what the public school will teach, especially in health class. And this is becoming more and more of a problem. If you can't afford the $14,000, well, that's a different reason. But if you're saying she doesn't want to go,
that's why I'm backing down easier because of the money. But I'm still like, should I just, you know, I mean, kill myself trying to get her there anyways. But that is part of the reason why I'm like, well, if she doesn't want to go, that would save me this money, and I wouldn't have to work, you know, 6 days every other week. But then I'm like, you know, you're supposed to suffer to do good. I'm stuck.
Weigh it. If this extra $14,000 a year is pulling you away from your family, pulling you away from the girls, because you're just killing yourself and you're exhausted, and your mood is affected, then you have to say, you know what, I'm going to have to deal with what I have to deal with in the public schools. And the main reason I'm making this decision is because I want to be more at home with my family, as opposed to the fact that my 14-year-old daughter says, these girls are ugly and I don't want to be around them. Because the problem with that is, she would do much better to be able to give these girls no power over her rather than running from them. There's a problem. This is now peer normal that there are obnoxious to the point of vitriolic children surrounding our children now. That's just the way it is. It's the culture. The parents are not raising their children well more and more. So as a result, you're trying to raise a good kid. And she's getting victimized by these kids. Now, obviously, you can go to the school people or you can do all kinds of other things to tone it down. But the bottom line is she's going to have to get to a point where this kind of stuff doesn't bring her down like this.
Yeah.
You know, and her view of it is, well, I'll just leave. Okay, so then what? What if it happens again in another setting? There's the problem. I'm assuming nobody's punching her in the face. I'm assuming nobody slashed your tires. They're just snotty. They're snotty.
Stupid girl stuff. One of the boyfriends threatened to beat her up. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, where are these people coming from, you know?
Well, that to me, I would go to the school. If somebody's...
The school, and then he broke into the school, and then the girl got in trouble, and she's like, you know, the parents give a lot of money, so she's, can't do any wrong. So, I don't know. I try to stay out of the politics, and I just try to tell her, you know.
I think your bigger question is, how much do you want to kill yourself so that it affects your family life to come up with another 14 grand? Now, if you decide not to do that, if you say, look, it's untenable, I think at the very least you ought to send me a grand of it, because you know, if I gave you any thought and you said, well, you know, he's making a good point. I just saved $14,000. I think I'd have sent at least a grand of it.
How about I send you a grand and your wife can homeschool her?
Oh, I tell you, we're out of gas, Ann. We are out of gas. Thank you, sweetheart, for the call. This is Dr. A. I got to run tomorrow. Look back Friday on the program. It's a delight to be with you. As always, walk with God if you have children. And I've been corrected by Adrienne multiple times, as well as multiple writers have said. The word is tightly. Walk with God and hold your children tightly by the hand, handily.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.